This is our number
10. It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Nicole and I were just talking during the top of the hour. I don't ever let anybody else determine what we are going to talk about. I don't follow what other media does. I tend to march to my own drummer. So that's why I think we end up doing a lot of stories on this show that are exclusive to us. But I have to tell you, the top story that we did today, getting just a tremendous response from listeners, including a lot of pro-choice people who say, yeah, I'm pro-choice, but, you know, this is just crazy what's going on in the country right now. And if you're just joining us, a Republican senator introduced a bill that would prevent infanticide in the United States. And what the bill that Ben Sasse introduced said is, if a baby is born alive after a failed abortion, then the doctors would have to give it medical care and not leave it to die. And you would think, because I mean, that truly is infanticide. And he was hoping to get a unanimous consent decree from the United States Senate, because who in the world could be against that? And the one person who stepped up was Patty Murray. And I don't care which side of the issue you're on, that's a local news story. That was, you know, in my view, the biggest, and since we try to usually focus on local, that is by far the biggest local news story today. And I'm reading some national coverage of this. And Patty Murray, what she said in the Senate is, we have laws against infanticide in this country. This is a gross misinterpretation of the actual language of the bill. Therefore, I object. But the senator who introduced the bill, Ben Sasse, he responded to Patty Murray, to the senator from Washington, the bill that we are talking about before this body tonight is because New York and Virginia, New York already, Virginia in debate, are having a conversation about removing exactly these protections. This debate is about infanticide and infanticide only, and this is a sad day for this body, meaning the U.S. Senate. So, again, regardless of which side of the issue you're on, isn't this a local news story? And I just looked at every website, Seattle Times, Como, Cairo, King, Q13. Nobody is even talking about this story. You're local.
One of the things is we're kind of obsessed right now with the weather. So, I mean, almost all of my newscasts have been primarily focused on what's going on with the weather. So that's one thing.
Understood. But they have a lot of other news on every one of those websites, TV and newspaper, that has nothing to do with the weather. And this is another example of where the media is just providing political cover for a local politician, because they know that this would reflect very poorly on Senator Patty Murray. And the idea that nobody else is even putting it out as a story to be discussed it's staggering to me how this protection racket that we have for certain politicians. So I'm proud that we will talk about stories here that no one else in local media seems to want to cover. Some about politicians named Murray. You know, the other one that shocked me.
The news media was all over that locally. Ed Murray?
That they allowed Ed Murray to be at the tunnel grand opening? At the ribbon cutting?
Okay, he hasn't been convicted. Would you bar him on the basis of what?
I'm just saying
he's a free man.
I'm saying he left office because he's an accused child rapist, and the evidence is rather overwhelming.
But he's still walking free. So if he wants to go to a bridge ceremony, whatever.
Oh, he can't. But the fact that he was invited, I think,
who invited him?
The Seattle Tunnel Commission, the people who put together the ceremony. I just don't want, and you know, the name that's taken over for the tunnel is, everybody's calling it the Dory Hole. I just don't want Ed Murray at the Dory Hole. I just don't. So, anyway, there you have that. Okay, let's get to all the other news that's going on. This was a crazy scene that unfolded in White Center, where a guy barricaded himself inside a Subway restaurant last night. This guy used a screwdriver as a weapon, tried to stab a police officer, and then barricaded himself inside a Subway where there was a long standoff. Ryan Abbott is with the King County Sheriff's Office. Whoops, whoops, hold on, let me get him on here.
I'd really like to...
No, Dory! Crying out loud.
The suspect had a screwdriver in his hand, and he started to slash at the SWAT team. He was able to get free, and he took a slash with the screwdriver towards one of the SWAT officers.
I tell you what, this is an example of where cops showed pretty good restraint, because after a guy tries to stab them with a screwdriver, there was a standoff for 2 hours at the Subway, and finally they said the guy came out fighting, and they fired tasers and rubber bullets at him, and then they were able to take him into custody. But it's just, he's 29 years old. He's wanted for escape, domestic violence, and assault of a police officer. And man, down in that South End, we're hearing about crimes like this all the time now. Next up, in the Fastest 15, you ever have the studded tires on your vehicle?
My husband uses them.
My wife, when she first was in college, her dad gave her a set of studded tires, which is kind of like the perfect dad gift for a daughter. And so she had those when we were first dating and married, and she was really good that every year she would go to Les Schwab and change them out, and it was a nice gift. Dad wanted his daughter to be safe. Here in Washington, a bill has just been introduced in the legislature that would add a $100 fee per tire if you want to buy the studded tires. And the legislature says that they cause damage to the roads, but they do give you a better grip, especially when we've got the ice like we have right now.
They do, and don't they have, you know, basically days that you can use them, and then you have to stop using them at a certain point?
Yeah. They give you a cutoff date, and so now people are going to have to, because I'd like to have studded tires on a day like today. And
definitely,
they want to hit people up for $400 that you would have to give the state of Washington in addition to the cost of buying a set of studded tires.
No pun intended, but is that getting much traction? I really didn't. Is it?
It is before the House Transportation Committee right now. There are a lot of bills going on that I got to talk about. I'm going to talk tomorrow with the senator who wants to remove the motorcycle helmet restriction or requirement. Yeah, in our state.
Our reporter, Hannah Scott's been there in Olympia and has been keeping track of so many things. There's a bill or maybe several bills to try to toughen up our DUI laws, which keeps coming up every year. But, there's a lot.
The other one with the motorcycles, they would allow not lane splitting, but they call it lane sharing. And it would say that if there's a left shoulder on a roadway, you can drive up the shoulder if you have a motorcycle. And I love that. I think anything that would encourage more people to ride motorcycles, even though I don't have the guts to do it, but it frees up the roads. Here's my question about that. And I'm going to talk to the senator about this one tomorrow. But I don't think our drivers in this state have the mentality to handle that.
To have a motorcyclist? Because there is some shoulder driving on 405.
Yeah. They've opened that up for some cars. But if you've been in... when I was in Italy 2 summers ago, and it was one of the most harrowing experiences of my life, but my wife and I rented a scooter. And in Rome, or in all of Italy, you pretty much can do whatever you want on a scooter.
That's true.
If there's a long line of cars at a red light, you can drive in the opposite lane of traffic, get to the front of all of those cars, and then you just take off when the light goes green. And you can run red lights if you look both ways. Nobody's coming. They pretty much just give you the run of the road.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like that so much.
It's harrowing.
It's like driving in Manila. It's nutty.
Yeah.
There's no rules of the road.
Right. But I'm fine. And I started to get into it, too. I started to act like an Italian scooter driver. And I was flying by cars and cutting in and out. But here, our drivers are so passive-aggressive. And I think that they, if they saw a scooter passing them to get to the front of a lane of cars, I think our drivers' heads would explode at that.
Yeah, we can't even handle the zipper merge, apparently.
No, exactly. So we would have to retrain our drivers to just understand that all they're doing is they've gotten a car off the road. And the other idea, I'm going to see if the senator is going to help me with this, but you know that stupid sounder train that they have from Everett to Seattle?
The stupid one.
The ridiculous one? Yeah. So the one that breaks down, there's a mudslide every other day, and the cars are empty. And the only problem with my brilliant, because this is one of the best ideas I've ever come up with, but there is some like freight train traffic on that track. So it's not just the sounder train. But my idea is that we pave that into a Burke Gilman-type pathway, like we have along Lake Washington, and we make it motor scooters only. And I would do that.
You think that's a brilliant idea?
It's my best idea, other than the helicopters removing left lane.
Have you been on the Burke Gilman Trail lately?
Yeah.
Yeah, even with bicyclists and walkers. I mean, that's like you're putting your life on the line.
We wouldn't have bicyclists and walkers.
You're just talking about pure.
Just be for motor scooters. And because I would do that in a heartbeat. I'd go straight west.
Then we'd have to call you a car zealot or a bike zealot.
I would be. I'd be a scooter zealot. The only reason I don't have one is because I'm afraid of the drivers. Because I'm a good scooter driver. But if we had a dedicated north-south expressway for scooters, we could get thousands of cars off the road. It would, and we'll have to keep the train track, but we'll get it alongside the train
track.
Until it rains, and then you just have to navigate a mudslide. Anyway, I'll talk to the senator about all of this, but I'm going to get this place fixed up before you know it. Trust me on this. Next up in the Fastest 15. So we're still waiting to hear what's going to happen to the governor of Virginia. The one who he now claims, after he apologized on Friday for the picture in his college yearbook where one guy is in blackface and the other guy is in a KKK hood and robe. And on Friday, Governor Northam apologized for that picture. On Saturday, he called a press conference and said, yeah, that's not me in the picture. Which is do you think there's any, what he claims is, I remember wearing blackface. I remember putting shoe polish on my face to go to a Michael Jackson party. And that's such a vivid memory. I have no memory of the blackface or the KKK hood. So now he says that he's not in the picture.
That doesn't change it, really. I mean, he's very tone deaf.
Yes.
I mean, and he almost moonwalked out of there.
So funny.
I mean, his wife had to stop him. I mean, he really.
If people don't know what Ursula's talking about here. So a reporter asks him, can you still moonwalk? And he kind of smiles.
Well, that's because he said he said he wasn't the one in blackface, but he did darken his face
for the Michael Jackson part.
Yeah, for the Michael Jackson part, which he couldn't even remember the name of Michael Jackson, even though he's a big fan of Michael Jackson right. And dressed up as him.
But, so a reporter said, can you still moonwalk? And he kind of smiles, and he looks around almost like, do I have space to do it here?
He really does.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's obvious that it crossed his mind.
And his wife, who's standing right next to him, here it is.
Was that you danced the moonwalk?
That's right.
Are you still able to moonwalk?
So right there, he kind of smiles, looks around, and then his wife, for the love of all that's good and holy.
My wife says inappropriate circumstances.
Thank you. I'm pretty sure that he does that at parties regularly. Like, that's his thing.
Okay, so now the update on all of this. So if he does resign and he says he's trying to clear his good name and he doesn't want to be forced out because he's a racist, so then the lieutenant governor would take over. And the lieutenant governor is an African-American guy, Lieutenant Governor Fairfax. And a woman says that he sexually assaulted her 15 years ago. And he now has to address this.
But everything was 100% consensual. And not only that, the same person called me sometime later and wanted to meet with me, wanted to come visit me. I was still in law school, at Columbia Law School, wanted to come to New York City to meet with me, wanted me to meet her mother. And said that years later, months later in this case, and years later now, we have a totally fabricated story out of the blue that's meant.
And he says that, yes, the allegations of him sexually assaulting, said, yeah, he makes it clear they had sex, but he said it was consensual. She was into me.
We met and, talked, and I did not know her prior to. I was 25 years old, unmarried, a campaign staffer at the time, and we hit it off. She was very interested in me, and so eventually at one point.
I thought that was kind of odd. We hit it off. She was very interested in me. He doesn't say I was very interested in her.
Yeah, but because she's
making the accusation.
Yeah, she's accusing him of.
Yeah.
Yeah. That just struck me as kind of odd phrasing.
We met and talked, and I did not know her prior to. I was 25 years old, unmarried, a campaign staffer at the time, and we hit it off. She was very interested in me, and so eventually at one point we ended up going to my hotel room. This is in 2004. She was, very much into consensual encounter, and she even admits in the story there's consensual activity going on. And again, I have children, so I'm going to be very circumspect about what I say.
It's just it puts his party in a very delicate position, though.
Well, a couple of interesting things, because the accuser has now retained the law firm that represented Christine Blasey Ford.
Yes.
So that's one thing. He initially said that the Washington Post didn't find any, evidence or thought that some of her claims sounded false. And now the Post is saying, no, we actually didn't say that. We just said we couldn't corroborate because it's a he said, she said.
Right. Yes. And so it's uncorroborated and it's brought up years later. Well, in the case of Justice Kavanaugh, that, and Christine Blasey Ford, who you just mentioned, that was uncorroborated. That was brought up years later. This one is far more credible because the woman remembers exactly where it happened. He acknowledges they had sex, as opposed to Blasey Ford, who couldn't remember where it was, when it happened, any of that. And yet, this guy's party said, we got to believe Kavanaugh's accuser because she's saying this happened. And now they're saying, oh, no, we're not going to believe this guy's accuser. And so it's just the hypocrisy once again. But I don't know. Who would be third in line in Virginia? If the governor resigns,
Think that if they look at it and say, you know what, we can't corroborate. It's a he said, she said. And now there's even some talk about the person leaking this being the governor right now who's trying to keep his job.
Yeah. Yeah. He says that it's just a hit job against him. So
yeah, I mean, should this exclude him if they say, you know what, we can't prove it, they were adults, they were,
geez, you know what, I just looked it up. You know who'd be third in line if neither one of them could serve?
Who's that?
Me. Seriously, because I was in Virginia 14 years ago. So
I have to say, those conventions sound a lot more interesting than I ever thought.
That's the thing.
I mean, what's happening over there?
I've gone to a lot of work out of town trips. I don't know what happens with everybody else. I always end up just getting a pizza sent to my motel room.
Foot rubbed by Brock Heward.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty hot. Okay, that is our fastest 15.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes in the news. Fast. Dory's fastest 15.
It's Tuesday afternoon, and that means Dave Wyman is going to drop by for his weekly visit. We'll see what Dave has to say next on the Dory Monson Show.
George Thurgood.
Good job, Dave.
Dave Wyman.
Do you know that one?
Yes.
Is this one whiskey, one drink, and one beer?
One bourbon, one shot, one beer.
One bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Can I tell you, George Thurgood, absolutely awesome guest on the show.
Yeah?
I've had him on twice. And he always starts, he's always got a stock intro. I go, want to introduce, welcome to the show, George Thurgood. How you doing, George? Bad. he plays the part perfectly. George Thurgood, how you doing, George?
Bad.
I like it.
Nice find, Nicole. Oh, you know what else, other audio you should find?
What?
The clips from the shows the last 2 weeks.
The clips from the shows?
Yeah, because Dave never had a chance to hear the audio.
Oh.
After paying off the losing bet.
Oh, that was a few weeks ago. Yes. Okay.
No, that was last week and 2 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago and 2 weeks ago.
I'm going to go with Nicole on this
one.
Yeah,
I will too, because you were on Thursday last week.
Yeah.
You goofed things up last week.
I did.
Did you enjoy the Super Bowl?
I did. Yeah, very much so.
I'm trying to figure out why everybody called it boring. I thought it was a good, fun game. But I had Nicole and Ursula by my side as I was watching.
We were keeping him entertained.
And that
how was Dory's chili.
So good. But delicious. His spicy chili is off the chart spicy.
Did you have the
I had
hot?
Both. Oh,
you did?
Yeah. I had to like bring it down a couple of notches with your other chili.
Yeah.
I had two bowls of the extra spicy.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you pay for it later?
No.
No?
I
did your roommate
I
order
six
did your roommate pay
nope.
for it?
I do. He doesn't put beans in it.
No, it's just,
no beans.
Just pure meat.
Yeah.
It's the way God intended chili to be. Now, my favorite line along those lines was my oldest daughter, when she was about six or so, she had some of my chili. And the next day, she said, "Dad, I really like your chili. But the next day, it really makes my butt hurt when I poop."
Lovely.
I know. It was very cute. It was my favorite line ever about my chili. But yeah, I thought just because it was a defensive battle, that doesn't make it boring to
no.
me. I liked that.
I loved it. And I was so sick of hearing everybody talk about how there's going to be these high-flying offenses, and they've reinvented football, and you can't stop them. You know, how do you think all those people feel that went and hired the young quarterback offensive coordinators? The guy from, I think it's the quarterback coach, Zach Taylor?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he got, for the Rams, he got hired away.
Right. Yeah.
This Cliff Kingsbury guy comes in, and they all called him, he was called Handsome Mike Leach. And then there was Old Soul Mike Leach. There was an article in Sports Illustrated that these guys all run like the air raid and stuff like that, spread it out and throw the ball. And they're like, why don't they just hire the original Mike Leach?
Yeah, yeah,
and they called him the authentic Mike Leach, I think, AML. There was all these, you know, there was all these different acronyms for who Mike Leach. But, yeah, those guys, I mean, there's teams like Arizona that went and hired this young, you know, good-looking quarterback coach that's going to, you know, take Josh Rosen and make him into a genius like Goff. And
still about the defense.
I have some very serious questions about Jared Goff as to whether or not he is as good as he was this year. When he doesn't have Sean McVay, which I call Sean McVay his brain, when he can't hear his brain, then he gets lost. And a couple of those shows, I've never seen a worse quarterback under pressure. He throws some of the worst balls. And then he did it again. Do you remember when he went loping to the sidelines thinking, I don't know, I felt like he thought he had an invisibility cloak on?
Yeah.
You know, do you ever read Harry Potter, the invisibility cloak? Yeah, and he was just like loping to the sidelines, and Sherman comes up and just tags him. Just wham!
Yeah.
He did it again in the Ram game where he's just kind of jogging to the sideline, and the guy clocks him.
Right.
Like, did you not see that guy? Did you think that maybe, I mean, this is a guy, remember, he didn't know what side of the earth that the sun rose and set on. So I have some concerns about him. But defense always plays. Defense always will in the end. And not always, but, I mean, the pendulum always swings back.
I just like how things are setting up for the Seahawks because they are clearly a rising team. They're up and coming. The Rams, I think this was their year. And you got to win the division. I mean, it's just it's too hard to be a wild card team and have to win three straight on the road. So for the Seahawks is, can they pass the Rams next year? And I certainly think it's within the realm of possibility.
What were they that year we went to the Super Bowl in New York? Was it 13-3?
13-3, I believe.
13-3. I remember when they beat that first team who was it Carolina?
No.
I remember. Was it Carolina or New Orleans? I think it was New Orleans.
You know me.
Yeah, it was New Orleans, and then San Francisco came in. And it's like, we just got to win one more game.
Right.
And we're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's nice having that that bye week.
So, just real quick before we break here. So, Russell Wilson has a year left on his contract. They still haven't started any contract talks with him. Does that mean anything at this point?
I don't think so. He's got a year left. Yeah. They've got to work on Frank Clark and, you know, but – Russell's not going anywhere, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean come on.
He and Pete Carroll seem to be such a perfect pairing. And I told you about Pete Carroll told me the story a couple of years ago about how it was when Russell said he wanted to own the NBA team in Seattle. And Pete started telling me the story about Russell had this goal-setting list as a rookie that he gave to Pete. And as Pete's telling me the story, he started getting further and further away from the phone. And I hear papers rustling. And he goes, oh, I just found it. And he still had it sitting on his desk. And he goes, here's the goal-setting list that Russell gave to me.
Did he read them?
He read some of them. He goes, some of them are a little private.
Yeah.
But then about 2 months ago, I brought it up again with Pete. And he did the same thing. He goes, yeah, I just found it. Here it is. They just seem to be completely in sync with each other, those two.
Well, and he's a perfect quarterback for this offense where they don't want to throw. Worst as far as pass attempts, lowest pass attempts. I've said this before. For the Seahawks, he has the lowest pass attempts in the league, the Seahawks do. Yet he was number three in touchdowns, threw the third least interceptions, and he was number three in quarterback rating in the regular season.
And he's about to make between $30 and $35 million
something
a year.
Like that, yeah. Sade.
Yeah, you are on fire. You mean it's not pronounced Sade?
No. What did I say? Chardonnay?
Chardonnay.
Sade.
Sade. Dave is off to a 2-0 lead in Name That Artist. Got a lot of other stuff to talk about. Dave Wyman is with us in the Dory Monson Show. Rolls on. Pat Benatar.
No.
No. Go-Go's.
Tiffany.
Is Nicole playing now?
I would have gotten it.
They weren't going to get it.
I would have gotten Tiffany.
I wouldn't have got it. I would have said Go-Go's.
I've seen the Go-Go's in concert.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's the one girl's name? Juliana Huff or something like that?
No, she's Bangles.
Bangles.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of.
I thought of you when I saw this story. A guy was jogging in Colorado when a mountain lion attacked him from out of nowhere.
The cat bit the man's face and wrist, and there were puncture wounds to his arms, legs, and back. The man also had cuts on his face and scratches. We're told the runner was able to fight off the mountain lion, and that's what Colorado Parks and Wild officers say you should do.
So obviously you want to fight back if you are attack, definitely fight back, because there's been a lot of people that have had that happen and actually had the lion. I think that's when the realization to the lion is that this is not my normal prey.
Because I remember us having a conversation quite a while ago where you said if you were attacked by, what was your thing, a bear?
Yeah.
That you could
whoop his ass.
You could, yeah, you would defeat it.
I don't know. Maybe a plateau bear. They're a little softer up there.
A little east side bear.
Yeah, on the east side. not a city bear, city tough.
But do you continue to believe that?
No, this whole thing started over, this is like 5 years ago.
Right.
Where they were comparing like Manny Pacquiao's jab to a snake. And I'm like, why does everybody always just assume that an animal is quicker, faster, tougher than a human?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they always, and so, you know, like they talk about bears. And so I made a joke, then they made a big deal. We had a zoologist come on. Tom Nelson from the, you know, Outdoor Line came on and talked about it. But no, I think, yeah, don't you think that you would grab the cat's, if he was biting your arm, whatever, just grab his throat and just start crushing his larynx?
I would knee him in the groin.
What if it's a female?
I don't know what I'd do.
Same deal. Same thing.
Yeah.
You ever see three billboards outside whatever?
What?
The movie, Three Billboards Outside of Somewhere, Missouri.
No.
It's a movie.
Okay, no.
Yeah. There's a crazy woman in it. She goes, there's two kids giving her crap. There's a boy and a girl, and he kicks the guy right in the crotch, and then he goes over and kicks the girl in the crotch, too. It's one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen. Hilarious.
No, I do what you're talking about.
Yeah. You've never heard of that movie?
No.
I haven't either, and it came out in 2017. It's not old.
What's it called?
Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And who's the lady in it? She's from Fargo.
Yeah, what is
it? Oh, McDormand, Francis.
Francis McDormand.
McDormand.
I don't know her last name. McDormand, McDonald.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Oh, shoot. I don't have time to get to the last topic.
What is it? Hurry up.
Well, it's not a fun or happy topic, but they just confirmed a woman was hit by a foul ball at a Dodger game last year. And they just confirmed yesterday, that she was the first person in 50 years to be killed by a foul ball at a baseball game. And I was thinking, you know, the one sport that amazed me, how narrow the tunnel of people is when golfers tee off.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always amazed that there has never been a stray tee shot.
A shank.
Because it is such a narrow
gap.
Oh, holding the line.
I don't know this one.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Who does holding the line?
It's dragging the line.
Dragging the line. Tommy James and the Shondells.
Boom.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
high.
No, I lose. Because Nicole stole one from me that I would have gotten.
She wouldn't. You wouldn't have gotten that.
So Dave Wyman prevails by a score of 2-1. Very well done, Dave.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming by.
All right.
Okay, you can hear Dave every afternoon, 3 to 7, on 710 ESPN Seattle. Danny, Dave, and more. Big Lead at 2 is coming up next.